Welcome to a podcast of Beyond the Book, a presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center. Copyright Clearance Center is the world's largest provider of copyright compliance solutions through a wide range of innovative licensing services and comprehensive educational programs for authors, publishers, and their audiences in academia, business, and research institutions. For more information about Beyond the Book and Copyright Clearance Center, please go to www.beyondthebook.com.
This is Chris Keneally at the 2008 TMR, Top Management Roundtable of the Society of Scholarly Publishing, here at the Four Seasons Hotel in Philadelphia. Joining me very shortly after the keynote address by Professor Perlmutter is Scott Hensley. He is the editor of the Wall Street Journal Health Blog, and which offers news and analysis on health and the business of health. He joined the journal in 2000 and has covered health care and the pharmaceutical industry in all of that time since, and previous to that, he wrote for Modern Healthcare, where he was New York bureau chief, as well as writing for American Banker. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks, Chris. Nice to be here.
One of the points that interested me about David's address was the point, perhaps going back to 2004, where blogging began to emerge from just a kind of a hobby, if you will, to something far more important than that, and the traditional media pushing back on that. Do you recall how that felt to see blogging emerge, and what was your initial response?
Curiosity. I was not an advocate or someone defending against blogging. I was interested in the area that I was covering, pharmaceuticals, in reading what people were saying out on the web. I think one of the things that David said this morning was, among all the blogs that are out there, many are written by people with specialized knowledge, and sometimes you get a view into a world through someone's blog that you might not otherwise easily obtain. And to me, as a reporter, I found that interesting. Now, making the leap to being a practitioner of blogging is a different thing, but my original feeling, thinking back to that time, was curiosity. Who are these people? What are they doing? Can I believe it?
And so, in a fashion, you saw the blogosphere as a source of new sources.
I did. And I think one of the questions that came up today after David's presentation was, well, who's filtering this stuff? How one of the editors in the audience today was concerned about that the traditional role of publishers and editors is to serve as a gatekeeper to say, well, we think this is important and we're keeping from you the things that we think either are unimportant or haven't been vetted. And I think what you see in the blogosphere is over time you kind of make that decision. There are some blogs that don't last very long. People try for a while and decide they don't like it. There are some blogs that, as a consumer of the information, I say, you know, I don't like this. I don't find it believable, or something about it doesn't appeal to me. But then there are a small number, kind of a handful, that I go back to again and again because I find that over time they build credibility with me. I can sort of have a sense that they ring true, or I learn something that I check out independently and say, you know what, that's really interesting.
Well, it strikes me that the job of the journalist doesn't go away. It's the old newsroom rule about how if your mother says she loves you, check it out. And so when you've got a blog on a particular new drug, and just because they assert that this is going to cure baldness, it doesn't mean necessarily that you take them at their word. You still need to do that work. And in fact, if I'm a reader, I would rather go to Scott Hensley's blog, frankly, because time is at a premium, than to try to slog through all of it myself. So the journalist, the writer, and perhaps even the bloggers themselves, I mean, they're filtering other blogs, and there's a kind of mass conversation happening.
I think that's right. That's the way I think about it. And in the shift to becoming a practitioner of the blogging art, we at the Journal have tried to find ways to bring our journalistic standards to the medium of blogging, recognizing that people want to get their information in a variety of ways. We're not going to put the newspaper out of business. But on the other hand, there are people who are on the go or who find reading a blog a way to stay up on an area of interest to them. And in the area of health, we're able to put together on a given day a really concise kind of compendium of what we think is interesting. And I think most importantly, it offers a way for our smart readers to contribute to that. We have a conversation that starts on our best posts that is as important or interesting as what we as the reporters and journalists often write. People who question, why did you quote that person? This person isn't as good a source, or that person has a conflict that they didn't disclose. You should know about it. And then the commenter can include a link documenting what they said, or maybe someone will take a cheap shot at somebody who's mentioned in the post or the idea of a post. And I'm happy to say that most of the time, the crowd that comes to our site will then say, well, wait a second, you're not being fair to that person. And to me, the really neat thing about blogs, which is different from other forms of online content, such as WSJ.com, our flagship online property, is that there's much more reader interaction. And in fact, the conversation that takes place in the comment thread can become as much of a draw as anything that we might write to sort of get the conversation going. To me, that's been the biggest jump and the hardest thing for traditional journalists to apprehend, is that it's not just about what the journalist is writing. It's what the community of readers is bringing to that subject. And I embrace it. I think for me, that's the real joy of doing this work, that you are able to create a community of smart people who are interested in a subject who can really add something that is not easily done in another way.
Well, while there's a premium in having your readers respond as quickly, there's also, as a journalist in the newsroom, a kind of inherent threat in that, isn't there? Because on the one hand, if you're writing the blog and there are no comments, then your editor is going to wonder whether or not you're doing a good enough a job. And on the other hand, they could wind up these readers responding in a way that, again, David referred to. People responded to Dan Rather's report, the famous report on 60 Minutes. Do you ever feel threatened by the reader in a way that you might not have when it was only a print?
I would say no. I think the Dan Rather example, where people were able to find, to poke holes in what turned out to be a doctored document, it's what journalists sometimes do to other people. So, you know, you have truth squatting where someone will say, well, what's a politician saying? Our job is to go out and find out whether that's really so. Readers can always write letters to the editor saying you made an error in your story or call you up and say you made a mistake. It just takes a little longer, and the volume of comments is generally not as great as it can be for a blog post on a well-read blog. I think it makes journalists better. You know that thousands of people with real knowledge about the subject are going to be looking at what you're writing, and it's as easy as sort of opening the comment window to say back to you and to the rest of the people who are reading that post, you know what, there's a mistake here. Everybody makes mistakes. How do you handle that? If you acknowledge it, correct it, and move on, and your mistake rate is low, then that's journalism. And I think what we've found is that we inevitably make a few mistakes on the blog, but we're quick to respond when people point out the errors. And in other cases where it's an error of where it's a matter of opinion or a different take on a subject, then it's all the more fodder for the interesting conversations that usually take place. So I'm not threatened by it. I think you know, it's another quality control check of the modern age that in the old days you didn't have it happen as rapidly. I think it's another flavor, though, of readers saying, look, you didn't get it right. Only now they can say that more directly and more emphatically.
Well, last question. It's Scott Hensley of the Wall Street Journal, and clearly financial considerations come into play. Has the Journal figured out how to make money from its blogs, or does it see it simply as a way to hold subscribers and generally speaking, attract readers?
I can only speak as the editor on the non-business side of things, but I can say a few things that I think might be helpful. first, the blogs, all the Wall Street Journal blogs are free. They don't cost money. Many people, when they think of the Wall Street Journal online, suspect that it's a, you must pay. And it's true that for the flagship product, there's a subscription fee involved. But for the blogs, that's not true. That's by design. One of the reasons to start the blogs was to say, look, there's an audience of people out there who would be interested in Wall Street Journal style content and the stuff that we can do. Maybe there's a way that we can build subject-specific areas of interest to people that will attract an audience. And I'm happy to say that the health blog, and along with more than 20 other blogs of the Wall Street Journal, have attracted considerable audiences and quite a lot of traffic. We don't disclose what the figures are for the blogs, but I'm pretty pleased. It's also the case that we get advertising on the blog, some of it specific to the health audience. I don't have a role in that, but I'm always gratified to see it. And I also, as one of the commenters brought up, or one of the questioners today brought up, is, well, how do you decide on the authority of a blog? When can you pay attention? Should you pay attention to a blog or not? If people type in the words health and blog into Google and hit return, our blog will be the first thing they see. And to me, that's a real validation that we're on the right track. People in the blogosphere are interested in our blog. They're linking to it. And if they want to find it, it's hard to miss. So our health blog is healthy. It's growing. We're pretty gratified by the response and the community that's sort of finding it as a place to go online for information. And I can only hope that the money will follow.
Scott Hensley of the Wall Street Journal, thank you very much. This is Chris Keneally at the SSP TMR in Philadelphia.
Beyond the Book is an educational presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center, with conferences and seminars featuring leading authors and editors, publishing analysts, and information technology specialists. Beyond the Book is the premier source for knowledge on the latest business issues facing today's dynamic publishing industry, from initial research to final publication and beyond.